Hello and welcome to HerCast. I'm Dr. Chito, your host and advocate for women's health. Today we're diving into a topic that's often shrouded in silence and stigma, sexually transmitted diseases or STDs. As a gynecologist at Arabella Women's Health at Tabitha Medical Center, there's nothing I'm more passionate about than breaking down barriers and promoting open conversations about sexual health. That's why I've assembled an extraordinary team of experts to join me on this important journey. Brilliant doctors with diverse backgrounds and a shared dedication to transforming the conversation around STDs. So together, we're on a mission to unmask STDs, break the stigma, and spread awareness. So grab a seat, open your hearts and mind, and join us as we embark on this vital quest. Let's shine a light on the truth. Let's support one another and pave the way to a healthier, stigma-free future. Welcome to STDs Unmasked, breaking stigma, spreading awareness. Let's get started. Welcome to HerCast with Dr. Chito, where we're on a personal journey of transformation, one that's all about her, the everyday girl, teen, and woman. I'm Dr. Chito, your guide and companion on this thrilling adventure. Welcome on to HerCast, my dear doctors. I'm going to ask you just to introduce yourself here so they know who's who.
I'm Dr. Amujo Antonia.
I'm Dr. Kosi Irobi.
Dr. Ashe Ayomike.
This is a great team here. So you guys are going to have a really good time as we start the conversation. Now, I'm going to start just by telling what is sexual transmitted diseases. These are infections that you can get from having sexual activity. We're going to start now to talk about the most common of those STDs. I'm going to just use the word short abbreviation, STDs. I'm going to talk about the most common ones. First of all, like HPV. HPV is called the human papillomavirus and is the most common STDs that we have globally, all right? And it can also cause cervical cancer and genital warts. So let's hit off about what we think about HPV, really, especially in our clime. Who wants to start off? I'm going to start with my right. What do you think about HPV?
Okay, so human papillomavirus, like you said, is one of the most, or if not the most common virus we have right now, a sexually transmitted virus. The thing about HPV is when you have it, you don't really have symptoms, right? Most people just have warts. People don't even have the warts. And when people see the warts, they get confused. They just think it's like maybe bumps from shaving or whatever it is, and they don't present in the hospitals. And just because they don't have symptoms like that will make them sick, like fever or any other thing that will bring them presently to the hospital, they just keep quiet and go on, you know, having sexual activities and then spreading it all around. So it's always best to always get tested. Another thing is it can be spread skin to skin.
Yes.
People don't know that as well. They just assume all you need to do is have the sexual intercourse and then they would get the disease.
Like I tell all of my patients that you can wear condoms, like people say use condoms, which is very important. We're going to talk about how to prevent it. You can use condoms, but HPV is sometimes on the skin higher up than the condoms will reach.
Exactly.
So you can still get HPV skin to skin.
Especially when someone has the warts around there, like once you have sexual intercourse with that person, you would definitely get the disease from skin to skin contact. So people have to be very careful. Most people overlook it. They just see the warts and be like, what's that over there? And then continue. They don't even take it seriously. They assume they are bombs.
Well, let's describe it. Warts look like skin tags.
Like grapes. Right? Like tiny grapes.
Yeah, like cauliflower. Exactly. That's the word. Yeah, like a cauliflower look.
Yeah.
And that's really caused by the 6 and 11. So we call that low risk
HPV.
So those ones will not lead to cancer, but they can cause genital warts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else want to chip in about HPV? Because it's something that we talk about a lot, especially in how it can lead to abnormal cells.
Oh, well, I'm going to talk about like preventive measures. We really talk about condoms. So like you said, it brings down the risk, but it doesn't completely close the chances of you having
getting it. Yes.
Yeah, but then we have vaccines, which is really amazing, because from the ages of 9 and up to like 24, 5, you can get the vaccine, even older. But we focus on these ages.
Yeah, I think the latest one now, you can get up to 45.
Yes, 45.
Latest
vaccine.
Oh.
The Gardasil 9 just came out.
Exactly.
Yes.
So get your kids to get these vaccines before they become sexually active, because they wouldn't tell you when they become sexually active. Mm-hmm. So it's best to get
That's another part of sexual health.
Yeah.
So it's best to get these vaccines really early for them.
Yeah, and I think we should also talk about the high-risk HPVs, because that's where the vaccine comes in.
Exactly.
So when she talked about warts, that's the low-risk HPV. When we talk about cervical cancer prevention with the vaccines, that's the high-risk HPV. And these ones are the ones that go into the cervix, the cells, and cause some form of transformation. Usually, body will fight it. Especially young people will fight it. But there are a few people that will end up having what we call persistent infections that can lead to abnormal cells, and if not treated, cervical cancer. And I just wanted to say that, because cervical cancer is the most preventable cancer on earth. I'm just saying it because it takes a very long time between infection and actually having the abnormality that we're talking about. So pap smears and also very important.
Very, very important.
And then getting the vaccination.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to add to it before we move on?
Okay, well, concerning HPV, just like you said, pap smears are very important. Getting vaccinated is also important. Another thing is knowing your partner's sexual history is also very important.
Make sure it doesn't have multiple. Yeah, there are risk factors for HPV too, yes.
Another thing is taking care of yourself, noticing something that is abnormal in your body and presenting to the hospital for it to be looked at is important, because that is how you can catch it early and get it treated early. Concerning the low-risk HPV that causes genital warts, well, that can be treated.
That can also be treated by
doing cryotherapy, can be removed surgically.
There
are also creams that you can apply for it to go away. So I think people should always go to the hospital when you see something that is abnormal, especially in your genital areas, so that it can be looked at.
So knowledge, and that's what we're trying to do, educate and give you the knowledge about these infections so that you are aware and more aware of your body. And there's no shame to it. You know, I'm going to talk about that in the next episode. There's absolutely no shame to, once you're sexually active, you can be exposed, and that's what it is. So there's no shame.
One more thing I want to say. I know we talked about cervical cancer. There are other types of cancers as well that the virus can cause, like penile cancers,
anal cancers
as well.
Throat cancer.
So it's not just about the cervix for women. Men can also get it. You can have throat cancers, like we said, penile cancers as well, and anal cancers. So it's not just cancers for women. Men can get it as well.
And that's very important to add. And like when I did the definition of STDs, what I didn't mention is through any form of sexual activity, be it vaginal, anal, or oral. These are the ways that people do get infected. Okay, so that's something I should have mentioned. Now I'm coming to one that I've been itching to talk about. And I say that because this is an infection that sometimes when we offer it to patients, like, I think you need to get tested for this infection, they're like, no, don't bother about it. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry. I don't think I have it. And that's chlamydia. The chlamydia I call the silent STI, the silent STD, the silent bacteria. And then I want to talk a bit about that, because chlamydia is silent and it doesn't go away unless it gets treated. And it's a bacteria that you get infected with. And once you get infected with the bacteria, it doesn't necessarily always have symptoms. Sometimes you have minor symptoms, and sometimes these STIs present almost like you have a urinary tract infection or a vaginal infection, but they're actually one of the sexually transmitted diseases. Chlamydia is a silent, it stays there, it doesn't go away unless you get tested, then you find out that you have it. And it's treated by just one dose of an antibiotic, and it's cleared. Now, what happens with chlamydia and why I itch about it is that when it's not treated, it festers, it stays, and sometimes can infect the tube and the pelvic area and affect future fertility. And I say that because you have people that will tell you they've never had surgery, they've never done anything, and they're trying to get pregnant. And when you now do what we call laparoscopic procedure, or you look better into their pelvis, you see that the tubes are all messed up, they're tied up, and chlamydia can do that, can cause pelvic inflammation and lead to problems. So that's why I always recommend that women get tested for it, especially if you're young. and you're sexually active. And when we say young, people are like, what do you mean? Old people can't get it. Just that young people are higher risk because older people have more knowledge and are more aware of their bodies. And young people are coming into it gradually. So we need to keep talking about this because that's something that condom will prevent. But at the same time, it's something that once you're sexually active, I think you should test for it at least once a year, regardless of how frequent you think you have sex or not. Yeah. What do you guys think about chlamydia?
Yeah.
Where do I start from? I started from you. Let me start from you, Kosi.
Well, to be honest, in my few years of practice, I've seen a lot of cases where women come in and they're not even aware, except the doctor lists like some tests and chlamydia being inclusive. So I think women, like she said earlier, women should, not just women, even men. The problem with these
things... Yes, and men. This is a women's podcast, but yeah, and men.
The problem with this thing is that most women have symptoms and the men are asymptomatic until maybe late. But talk about the men. When it affects the men, it actually causes erectile dysfunction. So it's a problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if that's an issue for men, I think men should put it into like...
Men should be tested very much as much as
women. If you work in clinics, you see that it's usually the women that come in, even for fertility issues.
Yes.
The women coming in, they literally have to drag their spouses to come in with them. So I think both partners can come in, get tested.
Definitely.
And know your status exactly. Yeah.
So in addition to what she said, actually, I feel like patients should also come in and get tested. You would notice most patients, because chlamydia presents just like urinary tract symptoms, they don't go to the hospital. They just go to the pharmacy.
And get antibiotics.
So once you just give them the antibiotics and then the symptoms maybe subside a bit, they feel like everything is okay. Mm. Not knowing it's not even a urinary tract infection, it's chlamydia. And with that, the bacteria persists. And in the future, leading to erectile dysfunction, either in the man and then for the woman, fertility issues also.
Yeah.
So the best thing is, if you have any symptoms, down it could be pain, whatever, is just go to the hospital, get tested, and like that, you can be sure this is what I have, and this has been treated accordingly.
And I'll keep saying this: there's no shame to it. There's no shame in being sexually active. There's no shame in having an STD, and there's no shame in testing for it. So once you are exposed to this, and you know, I mean, most people will preach abstinence, but we're also not in the woods or in the bush, or you know, we're gonna close our ears. We know that this is important discussion that we should have. Yeah. What do you want to?
Yeah. So just to add on to what they said. Yeah, it's good when you have symptoms to present to the hospital. But like you said earlier, like it's a silent disease and most people don't even show symptoms. So I don't want people to wait till they have symptoms first before they come to the hospital to get checked. So I want it to be like, exactly, it has to be, people have to take wellness check very seriously in Nigeria. Most people just assume, I'm not sick, so I don't need to get to the hospital. So that's the mindset we have here that needs to be changed. So when you come to the hospital, and also another thing I need to point out is people just assume STI checks are HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and syphilis. That's all they ask for.
Which is what we're not talking about today.
Yeah, a patient once told me, whenever I get tested for my blood, like whenever I want to donate blood, the test they ask me to carry out are HIV, hepatitis B, C, and syphilis. So I don't think any other tests are more important than this. Mm. So this is just all I need. But then that's wrong. There's gonorrhea, there's chlamydia, there's herpes, you know, there's so many, the worst things that can, you know, that you can get infected with than HIV and the rest. So all these things are important. Another thing is for men as well, they can have testicular infection, epididymitis, apart from the erectile dysfunction. And when you have that, like that's a whole, you can also get infertility issues.
Yes,
from testicular infection. So don't just assume.
We're not leaving the men out on this
one. Exactly. Don't just assume it's the women that can get infected and infertility problems from the pelvic inflammatory diseases. Yes. Men as well can also have infertility issues if they have testicular infection. So it's very important to get tested. So,
definitely. And I want to say that when we do treat for chlamydia, and it's very important, is that it is a it's a partner. We can't treat the one person and leave the other. Okay. So we always talk about informing the partner. That's also sometimes a struggle when you say you need to inform your partner. Sometimes you have episodes where the woman is so upset and she's like, I don't even care, blah, blah, blah. But we need to, because we need to treat you and your partner. Else it's just going to go back and forth. As I said, if it's not cleared, it's not going away. So if I treat you and it goes away from you, you don't tell your partner, he doesn't get treated, he's going to give it back to you again. So it's very important that when we're treating STDs, we treat both you and your partner. It's very, very important. All right. Now moving to another one that's sometimes silent, but sometimes a bit noisy. It can come silent. People, some people may never know they have it, but I'm talking about it today. Yes, it's one of the most common STDs, but it's also something I'm seeing just more frequently. And I think I need to talk about it, and that is herpes. Now, just to give a general background, there are two types of herpes, right? When we talk about genital herpes, we also have the oral, all right? The oral one is the most common one caused by the herpes simplex virus type 1. That's the one that you get like cold sores. Okay, that's very common. That's not necessarily a sexually transmitted infection. As you know, that can happen and just happen from just having cold, or when your immune system is down, you can get some cold sores. So where we're going to focus right now is on what we call genital herpes, which is usually most found in the genital area. It's caused by the herpes simplex virus type 2, and that's what we're seeing a lot commonly now. It's coming up, the numbers are higher. And I think when I talk about herpes being silent, is that there are some people that will just have very vague symptoms and they don't know what's going on down there. And when you do the blood test, which we're going to talk about more, what the blood test is, when we do the blood test, we find out they do have antibodies to the second one I talked about, herpes simplex virus 2. So we know that either this is the first episode or they've had it before, they just never knew it, and now it's presenting. Another common presentation is the painful ulcer. And it could be found in the genital area, it can be found in the buttocks. I've even seen it sometimes on the thigh. So it can be found in those areas. And that painful ulcer always has to be investigated. Herpes, it doesn't get healed, but it goes into remission, meaning that your infections could pass away. The period where you're irritated down there could pass away, but it hasn't gone completely. So we're going to talk about herpes a little more, just a little aspect of herpes, and I maybe summarize it a little bit afterwards. But it's one of those things we want to talk about because it can affect pregnancy as well. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to move this way this time. I'm going to like try. Or let me move with Antonia. Let's go with you. You're next to me. Okay, Antonia. Shoot. Okay, what do you think?
So
want to talk
like
about herpes?
Said, we are going to be talking about herpes simplex 1 and herpes simplex 2.
No, 2. Let's stick with the 2, genital herpes.
So talking about the genital herpes, which is herpes simplex 2, it's actually a silent virus, just like you said. Some people present with symptoms. Why some people all their life, they might never
actually had it.
Mm-hmm. Any symptoms. Why for some, maybe twice a year, or when their immune system is actually
monthly,
a bit low,
These
symptoms will come up. Just like you said, genital sores, it could be tingling, it could be lower abdominal pain, even pain during urination sometimes.
Yes, this
can
present really painful.
With, mm-hmm. can also present with those symptoms. And one of the ways to actually prevent herpes is by using a condom. However, that is not 100%, because there's also been studies that even herpes simplex 1, which is the oral herpes, gives you genital symptoms mm-hmm. if you perform mm-hmm. oral sex. So even using condom is not 100%. And like we've stated earlier, knowing your partner's sexual history.
How many people will tell you
their
sexual history? Hi, what is your sexual history? That's your first date.
People
okay.
find it awkward when you ask them.
It's
doctor is crazy.
It's an important question.
It is an important question. And that's why we're talking about, let's break the stigma. We have to break the shame about it.
And people need, even when patients go to the hospital.
But it's not a first date question.
Yeah,
sometimes patients go to the hospital, they get tested, but they don't exactly know the kind of infection they have.
Yeah.
So I think when they go to the hospital, they should be told the exact type of infection they have, so that if they have a future partner or if they get reinfected, they can go to the hospital and say, oh, I've had this before. I've been treated with this before.
And this is what I have. So ask and to be tested, even where they're not educating you about it.
Yeah.
It's your right as a woman to say, what do I have and how can I be tested?
Yeah.
Yes.
And just like you said, herpes has no cure. It can be treated. It goes into remission, but...
And it can be shortened. When you have the flare, it can shorten. And it does not kill. It doesn't hurt. We're just talking about it more of the discomfort and being transmitted to your partners. Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you want to add anything to this?
Well, I think it's just for us to be careful, you know, more careful. like she emphasized, let your partner tell you his sexual history, her sexual history. Just ask. I think we shy.
Define what this sexual history is. You know, have you had any STDs?
People need before? To know if they want to go into a relationship.
Do you understand?
If you've had this before, they have a choice.
Exactly,
they have
it's my choice.
Right
to know. Of course, the right thing to do. Yeah. And avoid unprotected sex.
Be very careful.
No, there's no careful.
Because if you're part,
avoid
if you're married.
Okay, if you're married.
If you're married.
Okay, if you're going into marriage, okay, but I'm just saying, yes. You know, at that point.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think for couples, if you're going to get married,
you need to tell the stories. Get tested.
You guys should get tested. Know your issue.
Because some people just don't know they have herpes, though. I've met someone that did not know that they had herpes, and she's like, so this is what this is. And it's hard. People feel sad with herpes because they feel I'm gonna have this for life. And so it's a life-changing thing. But see, I always tell them this: look, we have medications that when you do have the flare-up will treat and shorten the episode, right? And I also tell them that what you need to know is identify what those symptoms are. Mm-hmm. Because in terms of spreading to your spouse or whatever, it's normally just before when you have those early symptoms, mm-hmm. you can spread it, and some days afterwards. That's the window where you could spread it to your partner. So understanding how you feel and really understanding some of these sensations are important. Mm-hmm. And I try to get them to do that. And so you can still have very good quality of life. It's not like mm-hmm. it's a life, it's not a death sentence, it's not at all. It's just something you have to manage and just help. If your partner doesn't have it, how can I prevent my partner from having it as well? Do you want
to
add anything?
Yeah, just a few things to add on. Just like you said, studies have shown that herpes simplex virus, the first type, can give genital ulcers. It's just like the same thing as well. The second type, herpes simplex virus, can also give flu-like symptoms. So there's some people that just present with flu-like symptoms. They don't even have the ulcers, and they just think they have the normal common cold. Exactly. So it's possible that you might have the herpes simplex as well. And yeah, so it's always, don't just assume it's a common cold. I'm not saying whenever you have a flu-like symptom, you just go get STI tested. So just do this as a routine. And yeah, you might, who knows, like you might actually have it and then know how to manage it. And then secondly, I was going to say, touch on, yeah, we all know that it's transmitted through sexual activities, but a woman who has gotten it can also pass it down to her kid, to her child. So it can also be passed from mother to a child,
more through the birth canal.
Yeah, through the birth canal. Yes. So it's possible for a child to have it. So it's not just only sexually transmitted. That's why people should know how important getting tested is, because you might have it, oh well, you've gotten it through sexual activity, but then you can also give your kid. So it's, you know, people have to take this seriously. You need to be careful. You need to take this seriously. So that's all I have to add.
Can we talk about kissing babies? Don't go around kissing people's babies. Mm-hmm. Even your baby. Mm-hmm. If you know you have...
No, if you have an oral, that's when you have an active sore.
Yeah. But sometimes people know that they have this active sores and they go around kissing people's babies. You're going to transmit that infection to that baby, and it's not good. So let this keep it
when
down.
When you're active, when you have an active. Because I will kiss my baby to tomorrow. What you have to say is don't do it when you have
an active sore.
Okay, I wanted to touch on syphilis, but maybe we can do that because we're about to wrap up. But syphilis is existing, and we're seeing increasing numbers of syphilis as well. Mm-hmm. It's a painless ulcer. I'm not going to go deep into it. But I want us to just touch very quickly on just talking about how to prevent STIs. Syphilis is an STI, and we're going to have, I mean, we can't, 30 minutes is not enough to talk about STDs, oh my God, but I hope we have a common thread here. Mm-hmm. The thing about herpes I want to also say is that if you have herpes active infection and you're about to have a delivery and you have an ulcer and the baby passes that ulcer or passes through an infected part, the baby then can get herpes. Yeah. But when you're breastfeeding, we encourage you can continue to breastfeed if you have herpes, but if you have any lesion around your nipple anywhere, then maybe not. You're a higher risk of getting HIV when you have herpes. So these are the little things we're gonna talk about, but just to close in 1 minute, I want us to just say the different things that we need to do to make sure we prevent STIs. What would be your first?
Have safe sex.
Use condoms.
Use condoms. Yeah, please.
What will you tell?
Safe sex, use condoms, then know your
That's your favorite one. Say it again.
Get tested. Know your sexual history, get tested.
Get tested.
And your partner's sexual history.
That's very important. Cozy, what else do you say?
Just be knowledgeable. There are social media outlets, you know, there's TV, radio. Listen to these things, be aware, and of course, know your sexual history.
knowledge will empower.
Yes.
So we're coming to the end of this very great dialogue. We will, I know there are going to be a lot of questions, and I'm going to see in the bottom how we scroll our details at our Instagram pages, just to be able to send those DMs there. All right. So now, as we draw to a close, I want to extend my heartfelt gratitude to our incredible guests, Dr. Anthonia Amujo, Dr. Ashe Anyomike, and Dr. Kosi Irobi, for their valuable insights and unwavering dedication to promoting sexual health awareness. Together, we've shed light on realities of STDs, and hopefully we're beginning to shatter the stigma and pave the way for a more informed and compassionate future. But our journey doesn't end here. It's up to each of us to continue these conversations, challenge misconceptions, and advocate for inclusive, stigma-free sexual health education and support. So let's stand together in solidarity, supporting one another as we navigate the complexities of sexual health. Thank you to our listeners and those who are watching us for tuning in. And remember, knowledge is power, empathy is key, and together we can make a difference. Until next episode, this is Dr. Chito signing off. Stay informed, stay empowered, stay well. Goodbye for now. Take care.
You have just listened to part one of the two-part series, STDs Unmasked, Breaking Stigma, Spreading Awareness. To get notified when part two comes out, subscribe to HerCast wherever you get your podcast, and follow us on Instagram at HerCast Podcast and on TikTok at The HerCast Pod.